What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we're back from break.
Hiatus.
Back to episode 96. Hopefully everyone out there had a great happy holidays, happy new year, all that good stuff. You spent time with family, you opened gifts, you drank responsibly, you know, if you're into that sort of thing. You twerked responsibly if you're into that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, but hopefully you had a great time and hopefully you got some rest. That was something that I was big on this break, getting some rest, because I've been really busy, like really, really busy over the past however many months in trying to, I don't know, establish some sort of importance with my work, I guess you could say, where I'm like, you know, I'm a viable candidate for wherever I go. That's what I was, that was my goal. And that's my goal for this year, actually, as well. And so doing a lot of stuff and had a lot of, time to kind of reflect on what, we had accomplished, even with the podcast, with having, two different directors on our podcast. Shout out to David F. Sandberg. Got to put the F in there. Make sure I do that.
Yes, you do.
And Scott Derrickson, who was here. We had scheduled another person. We're not going to say their name just yet because we don't want to say it and then, you know, something else happens. But we had to reschedule. That's going to be happening later this year. So shout out to that person. And we have some more coming up if everything works out. And so I'm looking to do, you know, I don't want to say bigger and better, but, you know, just try to do a little bit more than I did last year. And I needed to rest in order to do that. Like, you know, we needed a rest. Because it's, you know, it's really
life's like hard.
That. And there's this whole idea of like, you know, rise and grind, like people say. And, you know, if you really enjoy your work, that it's not work. And there's a whole lot of silly sayings that people have. And to be fair or to be honest, that's not how that works. Like, obviously, if you're doing something that you really, really enjoy, then you will, you know, and you will be OK with working a little bit more than if you're doing something that you don't like doing. Like, I would love to be writing about, you know, games and movies and all this good stuff as opposed to working in a coal mine. Totally. But that doesn't mean that I don't get tired, right? I don't get frustrated or whatever the case may be. So rest is definitely important. And as much as you want to go get it, you got to go get some sleep too. You feel me? But outside of, I mean, I'm for real. Like, I remember, there's just an aside because why not? I remember when my second child was born and not getting a whole lot of sleep because of, you know, one, because of, you know, they're a baby. And then two, because I was working a lot and it got to a point where I was having what I thought I was having was a heart attack, but I wasn't. I was actually having a panic attack. Right. Which is something I didn't know. I didn't know that they disguise themselves as heart attacks, you know, really freak you out. Yeah, that's going to help my anxiety right there. But yeah, like, and ended up in the hospital and all that. And what it came down to was stress and the uncertainty of certain things allowed my anxiety to spike. And before you know it, I was in the hospital. And, you know, there's plenty of people that I know that have similar stories of just overworking to the point of burnout and needing help and all this good stuff. So it's important to break, to take, you know, to relax a little bit. I know taking fancy trips and all that during the holidays is great, which you couldn't do if you're on the East Coast recently because of the snow. But it's, you know, resting is good too. Resting is good too. In the midst of all that rest, I also try to catch up on things that I missed, like film and video games and stuff, because, you know, people do the end of the year list. They got their 2022, the best of sort of thing. And being a horror fan, I was like, you know, there's a bunch of horror movies that came out this year that I didn't get to see. And I had made a list earlier and I was like, you know what, let me check these out before I, you know, just write everything else off. And yeah, my list is the same. My list is still good. my list is intact. And mainly because, not to say that the movies that I saw, like, for instance, I saw Bodies, 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 which is a movie. So they definitely got that going for them. And nah, it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be, or maybe it was what I thought, just not very great at it, whatever it was trying to do. I think certain aspects of it work, you know, worked or whatever in you know, social commentary, but some of it just kind of fell flat. A lot of the characters weren't likable, but not in a way that, you know, how there's a weird thing with films where you, where morality is a little skewed, where you're like, in the real world, if someone's a jerk, you don't really want them to die. It's just like, oh, he's a jerk, I don't want to be around this person. In the horror land, it's like, oh, he needs to die first. You feel me?
Right.
And unfortunately, I wanted that for the entire cast. Like, I think maybe one person, I was like, you're cool. You know, it was like, F you, you're cool. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I kind of felt like that. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad film per se. Like, I didn't do a deep dive. I kind of just was, because like I was saying, I was going through a bunch of films back to back to back to back, and
yeah,
I was just like, this is, it's a thing. Like, I don't have too much positive, you know, to say about it, and I don't have a whole lot of negative, even though what I said was incredibly negative, but I don't really have a lot to say about it. It was kind of forgettable in that regard, mm-hmm. which is, mm-hmm. you never want to be forgettable, you know? I saw The Menu, which I think is a good film. I say think because it's one of those things where I have to sit with it. I really need to sit with what they were doing. I think all the acting was great. I think even the story itself is actually really good. I think the pacing is one of those things where, like, it's definitely a work of art. Mm-hmm. And not to sound pompous in that, but it's something where it's like there's layers to this and you need to peel it back a little bit. And in order to really appreciate what was, you know, the director and everybody was going for when they were making this mm-hmm. film. That being said, as a consumer, if I'm not putting on my, you know, my critical glasses, as a consumer, it also leaves you wanting a little bit. And I don't think they nailed everything that they were going for. I think in some aspects it comes off as a little pompous. But I think it is a good film. I think it is something that should be, you know, in terms of, you know, top of your list type of stuff, I think it shouldn't definitely be up there. I think I need to rewatch it. It's one of those, which is, you know, kudos to that. Because a lot of films I just kind of like, I just kind of like blew by. But I was happy to actually get a chance. It's on HBO Max. Definitely check that out. And, you know, see for yourself. The acting, like I said, is great. There's a lot of dark comedy in it, and it's actually funny. There's some really dope scenes. Like, you could pull a lot of cool things from it. But as far as, you know, all, you know, the sum of all of its parts, I'm not sure. I don't know. And then we got to watch Glass. Well, this is not horror, but the Knives Out sequel, Glass Onion. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. Shout out to Janelle Monáe, who did a great job. And shout out to Dave Bautista, who did a great job. And I say that because, you know, a lot of the other actresses and actors have been doing this for a very long time. And so they're going to, like Ethan Hawke, you're not going to, it's like, it's Ethan Hawke. He's going to do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just what they do. Not to say that, you know, Monáe and Bautista, you know, wouldn't do well, but it's like you're in a collective of really good actors and actresses. And so to stand out, you got to really, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And they did. Shout out to Bautista as well, because I believe the director was saying that he is one of the best actors from, you know, the WWE that came out of that. Rian Johnson had given him that compliment. And he is, for the most part. I think you know, charismatic as The Rock is and as funny as John Cena can be, I think in terms of just acting chops, I think Bautista is doing pretty well. I would like for him to get more dramatic roles.
Yeah,
honestly,
agreed.
He's doing very solid. Talented. Yeah, and he's taking acting classes. Apparently, he's taking acting classes, and you can see it. You can definitely see it. So shout out to Dave. So outside of that, I also caught up on anime. I played some games, and just trying to get through those lists of things that, you know, that people talk about. And I found that it's okay to skip some stuff. It's okay.
What,
it's all right.
Some episodes, like,
yeah, no, just don't see it at all. Like, it's like,
yeah.
A lot of people are like, you know, you should check this out. This is amazing, and I look and like, this is mid, like really, really mid. Like, not even. and we're gonna get to some mid stuff too, because we were talking off air about Alice in Wonderland. We're gonna talk about that in a sec, but like, I feel like, and I'm not, and this isn't knocking anyone, because you like what you like. Like, we like Speed Racer. Yeah. No one is going to argue.
Don't care what anybody says.
Right? No one's going to argue, you know, the critical acclaim of Speed Racer. Like, no, it's just people didn't like it. We liked it, though.
They were stupid for that, because I'm sorry. And you don't even have to be tripping to watch that movie. Some people are like, no, just. Hey, I'm not condoning drug use. I'm just saying that there are literally some people who said that movie is great tripping. I don't know. I clearly was sober when I saw that movie and always have been. But my point is that movie is awesome. I don't care what anybody says. It is funny. It is fun. And give me a movie with Rain any day. You know I'm gonna watch it because it's fine. He's fine.
That's not why, but for me anyways. But yeah, Rain is talented. And you know, it was, to be honest, as much as I watched Speed Racer growing up, or, you know, and this is the dub, so maybe it's the tone is a little different, you know, the original Japanese, but from what I was watching, this is Speed Racer. Like, and maybe, you know, you could argue whether or not it should be made into a live action, because there's, trust me, a lot of anime should just not, but...
Not.
It was good. You know what? It was better than Cowboy Bebop on Netflix. I'll tell you that. It was definitely better than Cowboy Bebop.
Yo. Cowboy Bebop was trash, and we know that. We don't have to go there.
Right. And so, like, I think, so I'm not knocking anybody for recommending, but I think that I feel like people were looking for something different, because, you know, what's dominating the box office is sequels, remakes, and stuff like that, which has always been a thing. That's never not been the case. And so people are like, we want something new, we want something fresh. And so anything that's new and fresh, they will kind of, you know, galvanize towards. And just because it's new doesn't mean it's good, though. Like,
yeah,
not good. Not good. There's a lot of not good. A lot of mid stuff. A lot of things that I was really upset that I watched. And, you know, I think it comes from wanting to be in the know, wanting to be in the conversation. And sometimes that can get you, you know, because you can't get that time back. This is how I feel a little bit with Gundam. I've been watching Gundam. I said this in a recent podcast that I've been trying to catch up on Gundam, because it's a brand new show. And I've watched Gundam in pieces here and there throughout the years. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch all the episodes. Foolish challenge. Very much so. And I feel like I made a mistake. I'm going to still But because I'm not in a hurry. Like, Gundam's not going anywhere, right? And so no one is talking about it outside of the new series. So I'm doing it at a slow pace. I can do like 2 episodes a night if you know, whenever I watch. But it is the long, like, I don't know how this became popular. I get it later on. Like, I definitely get the different Gundam series that, you know, the animation got better and the plots were better. But this is really slow. Like, this is the longest chase I have ever seen in anything. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Rian Johnson got this for his Star Wars film, because good grief, are they in space for a long time going in circles? I'm like, if I don't land somewhere, like, and, you know what I mean? Like, and it's because you're already, what's also disconcerting is, like, you're placed in their world and you don't really get a lot of backstory. You get that these two factions are fighting, but the history of what's going on, you don't get much of that. You're just like, in, like, the first episode is a fight, kind of like Attack on Titans. But with Attack on Titan, you get history as you go along, whereas this, not so much. And so I'm like, it feels like, and even though I think Evangelion is better, I think that it feels like that, where it's like, it's just really hard for me to get through.
Yeah, because Evangelion is like, man, slow. I'm like, I still haven't watched that whole series because I just can't.
And people love it. I'm going to have to do that too. That's going to be, I just, this is a me problem, but I'm going to go watch that. I'm going to go finish it. I started it and it is interesting on paper, but good grief. And this is someone who's watched every episode of One Piece. So just for everybody out there, I'm not, I have subjected myself to really long running whatevers, but good gosh, man. So that's some of the things that I was watching. But off air, we were talking about Alice in Wonderland. And again, this is what happens when a new season of something is announced, and I had been trying to watch it, and I just didn't get a chance to. And so season two, I was texting you, and I was like, hey, you know, you told me you had watched it. And I was like, oh, you know what? I should watch this because season two is going to drop. And you're like, it's already out. I'm like, oh.
Yes.
Well, damn. Okay.
I literally watched it the night it dropped.
Ah, see. But then you told me, like, I'm not really missing anything.
I think that you can spend all of your time doing something else and it will be a better time. Like, Alice in Borderland, to me, is just one of those things that, like, if you were young, if you were 17, if you were in high school, if you were in middle school, and you didn't watch it, you would probably be, you know, teased. And people be like, why didn't you watch it? Like, everybody's watching, everybody's talking about it.
Right.
You know? And so if you have fear of missing out, go ahead and watch it. If you have other things to do with your life, then go ahead and do those things. Because it's just, like, I think that we could probably, especially after you watch it, I think we could probably just do a spoiler cast and just actually talk about the whole show. And this is coming from somebody who doesn't think the show is that great, that we could actually dedicate an entire show to talk about it. Just because. Because, like, my personal opinion on this show is that it is, they, you know, took it from manga and decided, hey, Netflix is like, yeah, let's throw money at this and let's just make a live action instead of animating it. And some things need to be animated. We've discussed this before when we talked about Cowboy Bebop. Some things can only be expressed in certain mediums.
Mm-hmm.
There are stories that are better told in a book. There are stories that are better told visually. There are stories that are better told poetically or in song. And there are stories that are better told through, you know, just straight up comics.
Right.
And not everything needs to be live actioned. It just doesn't. I mean, and this is the thing is, I think that realistically, Alice in Borderland has such a realistic, you know, point of view that the idea to make it live action is smart. It is, because it's like, wait a minute. Like, we spend all this time looking at things that have been animated and said, hey, can we turn this into a real people thing? You know, oh my God, how many people were like, oh my God, I would love to see so-and-so play Goku. I would love to see so-and-so play Inuyasha or something. You know, it's like people want these animes to become live actions. And that's fine. I get it. We all understand why, because we want to see our favorite actors or new actors play these roles and see the special effects and be like, oh, this would be cool. And I get it. And to be fair, there's a lot of stuff maybe in Alice in Borderland that doesn't really need special effects. It's just, you know, gory. It's just blood and violence. And that can be, you know, relayed very, very well in a live action medium. I mean, we've watched what's that show, Walking Dead, everybody watched for however many seasons, which, you know, they still didn't get a technical advisor to do hair properly. But, you know, it is what it is. So, I just want to take this moment to do a plug real quick. First of all, okay, Walking Dead, you guys suck, because you had our girl in that horrible wig for the longest time. But then the people on Black Panther got smart and went and got nappy Napstar dreads to do What's-Your-Face's wig. And it was great. So literally, it's out there. You guys just didn't try hard enough. So,
well, it
shame
was,
on
you know. Like, we spoke about that before too. It's like Black Panther also had black people behind the scenes.
Yes, black
and so
people.
Things went, you know, how they should.
Yes. Thank you. So anyway, that was a plug for not only Napstar dreads, but for black people in a general sense. Moving on. So anyway, back to Alice in Borderland. Okay. So this is what happens when you animate a manga or whatever graphic novel series, and you decide to tell everybody who's in the show or whatever, by the way, just be like an anime character. And it doesn't translate.
Oh, right. Yeah. In the live action. Yeah. It does not translate.
It's translate. It's just like, this is just the stupidest idea. It's like, make this story is good. Like I said, it's realistic. It's realistic in the manner in which what would happen if you ended up in some sort of weird alternate universe, some weird alternate reality of what you were just living, and it was games to the death. Okay, like, you know, the whole premise of Alice in Wonderland is Alice falls through a rabbit hole. She goes down a rabbit hole and her whole reality is changed. She walks to a mirror and she's like, oh my God, there's a life on the other side. Like, you know?
Right.
And so that's basically what this is. You know, in Alice in Borderland, there are characters that are supposed to represent, you know, the Hatter. There's characters supposed to represent the rabbit. And so all of those things come, you know, they're kind of corny in a way, but it's all there. But when you have a character who's as character as Hatter, I mean, it's one thing to be played by Johnny Depp, okay, in a Tim Burton movie, which is ridiculous and colorful and funny. This is a serious type thing. And so it's not like the characters can't be done. It's not like you can't make these characters serious and maybe have them have a couple of quips to break the seriousness. Like, we do need some things that are funny in a serious show. But this is not this. I don't think that they do it effectively throughout the whole thing. I mean, it's like it literally is just like you watching like, OK, this is it's not low budget, but like, they just got a whole bunch of people, threw them in the cast, and just said, act.
Like, so it's like,
they hired some people from Foot Locker.
Like, so it's, wow. So it's like a soap opera, like Days of Our Lives, but manga or whatever. Because the way you're describing it reminds me of, or at least the first thing I thought about was Jim Carrey playing the Riddler and how I didn't want any of that at all.
Yeah, nobody wanted any of that. It was a lot.
And even with the classic, you know, Batman live action show, that version of the Riddler, it still wasn't Jim Carrey's version. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was things that just does just not translate well, even if it's supposed to be over the top, it's supposed to be campy. It's like, this is taking me out of the element so much, you know? And I think that it probably would have been better if they just did, like, we want to do. And this is tough anyways, because like I said, you know, in previous casts where you want to toe the line of, you know, having fan-based information or fan-based stuff, things that you pull from the story directly, and then actually adhering to making a good story in and of itself, because you're you're switching medium. Where animated, it's you can do shot for shot manga and it works because it's animated. We're not expecting, you know, there's for, you know, one moment, you know, One Piece or Luffy is like normal, and the next moment it's like he's all chibi and like he's screaming, and the you know, there's you know what I mean? Like it goes back and forth really easy. You can't really do that effectively, or maybe you can. They just haven't found out how, but you can't really do that live action wise. I'm curious what they're gonna do when the show actually comes up. I'm actually you know, attached to that in terms of covering it when it comes out, the live action One Piece show, because I am extremely curious on how they're going to do Luffy, because good grief.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah.
And they're going to, I mean, to make something effectively live action without just being computer animated all the time, you need to take away some of those character elements. Those animated character elements have to go away. And one of the only times that I ever felt that was effectively done, like really, really well, was the Honey and Clover movie.
Yeah.
The Honey and Clover movie was amazing. I mean, Honey and Clover is one of my favorite animes. It's so good. And it's wild. You know, the little chibi, the little, all of those crazy animations of characters are amazing. Morita is the craziest character in the world. I love him. And and then they get the dude from Sukiyaki Western Django to play him.
Nice.
Literally played two completely different people.
Right.
In that movie and then in Honey and Clover. And if you look at Morita from Honey and Clover, he is crazy. I mean, he's got FCIA lab in his bedroom. But in the movie, when you get to that part where they can't open his room and they haven't seen him, they're trying to open up his room. They open the room and it's just empty. And I don't know. I don't remember who the director is. I would have to go look it up. But the thoughtfulness and the choices that they made in making it as realistic as possible were so smart. Because if they did open up the bedroom and it was a CIA lab in there, I mean, it would have been ridiculous. It would have, like, we probably would have laughed. Anybody who's seen the show would have been like, ah, oh, that's funny. But anybody who hadn't would have been like, wait, I don't understand the significance of this.
Right.
Why is there a CIA lab in some guy's apartment? And, like, they can barely power the whole apartment. They don't even have a shower in the building. And he's got a CIA. It's funny in the anime. It makes sense. It's like, wait a minute. How is Morita running a CIA lab in his apartment?
Yeah,
but in live action, it really would have been like, wait, no, seriously, how is that happening?
Yeah, it's delicate because, like, it's similar to with an animated character pulling a mallet from behind their back. It's expected because it's just whatever, you just go with it. But
yeah,
I think that only worked in the movie The Mask.
Right.
Shout out to Jim Carrey. But yeah, like it only worked because The Mask, it was expected. He was basically a cartoon in that film. And so when you get to the live action, it's like, what do we do? How do we get the same tone but believable within our world? And that's where, you know, things get really, really tricky. Because you do want those fan nods. You want people to recognize, like, oh, that's the character from the show or from the manga and feel good about it. But then at the same time, it's like, this is a different medium. Some of the stuff is not going to work. If we do exactly the way it is in the game or in the manga, it's not going to work. And so you have to be careful with what you pick and choose, essentially, what hills to die on. And I think I think, you know, based on what you're saying with Alice in Borderlands, is that they didn't pick the right hills.
They didn't pick the right hills at all.
But apparently it's popular because, you know, Netflix is notorious for destroying, that's a strong word. Yeah. Of getting rid of IPs right when they have, like, one season, you're done. Like, that's, you know, two seasons. Yeah. If you get to three seasons, you're mad lucky. You're, you know what I mean? Like, you're either amazingly popular or you're lucky.
Well, with Alice, I'll say it like this. Season one, I think one of the reasons why it was very clear that they were going to greenlight season two, like, right after the first few episodes, it was like, okay, they're definitely going to greenlight season two. Why? Because it's a mystery. It is a suspense. You don't know what's going on. You have absolutely no idea what is going on. They give you nothing. They literally give you nothing. And with so much death and, you know, murder and stuff happening, all that kind of things, it's just going to warrant season two, especially because Squid Game had just happened as well.
Right.
And so a lot of people are going to be like, okay, definitely we want to see a season two. And again, I'm not saying that season one or season two is better than either season. You can collectively say that you put both seasons together. Is it a good show? Is it a bad show? Whatever. I don't think it's a bad show. I don't think it's a great show. I think it's mid. You know, it's just, it's definitely something to watch. There are some people who are going to be like, oh my God, I love this show. This is so cool. And I'm like, okay, cool. If you love it, then that I'm glad it makes you happy. There's people out there who are like, I liked Rings of Power. And I'm like, you have bad taste, but it made you happy. So I'm happy you were happy, but you have bad taste because that's just trash. But I will say with Alice in Borderland, they don't answer any questions in season one. So you need season two. So season two, mind you're gonna have way more questions in season two because literally nothing makes sense, but it does its job, and people are wondering if there's gonna be a season three. They kind of tease that there could be, so you know you don't know, whatever. But I mean like I said, if you have 20 hours, give it a try. It's gonna be 20 hours of your time, and you know, just have fun with it, because some of the episodes are actually pretty dope.
See, I'm gonna just so we can talk about it, I'm probably gonna watch it and hopefully not feel away afterwards, because, you know, you can't get that time back. But like you said, it's something to, you could potentially put on while you're doing something else. So,
well, you can't, because you need to watch. It's subtitled.
That's right.
In Japanese, so you can't. I mean, if you want to watch the dub, then fine. But I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there is a dub. No, there.
I'm not
there is,
doing that.
It's in different languages. Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm not.
Yeah.
I have too much self-respect. No, I'm joking, folks. It's okay if you do the dub. I'm joking. Yeah. That's just a. it's more or less an elitist thing.
We're elitist.
Unless you're just racist. In that case, then you suck.
Yeah. Then you suck and you shouldn't be watching this anyway.
Right. But beyond that, you know, definitely, you know, if you want to see a dub, definitely check that out. The one thing I wanted to watch that a lot of people were talking about last year was the movie RRR. I think that's the title on Netflix. And it's a Bollywood film, but it's like with superheroes. And
cool.
I think it's, but the thing is like really, well, all Bollywood films are really long, but it's apparently like it's on top of everyone's list of like the best thing ever to drop on Netflix last year. And so I definitely got to watch that. And then also for the anime fans out there, Trigon Stampede, the new, you know, redone animated show for Trigon is coming out on the 7th. So in a few days. It's going to be airing, simulcast on Crunchyroll and at, I want to say 8:30 PST, which is, you know, 11:30 EST or whatever. So basically you're going to see it the next day because I'm not staying up to do that. But yeah, Trigon is coming back and we talked about it briefly before with the way the new animation looks and whatnot. And it looks like it's adhering a little bit closer to the manga, which is cool. To an extent, because I like Stampede, or sorry, well, Trigon. I like the show, the previous show. I liked how silly it was and how it was, you were able to float in and out of it. There was parts where you needed to watch or whatever, you know, because there's an overarching story. But for the most part, it was kind of like Cowboy Bebop in the sense, like, this is another day for, you know, this particular character versus, you know, you have to watch every single episode back to back to back to back. But I am intrigued by this new one, animation and whatnot. Hopefully the CGI is good because that's been hit or miss lately. And I don't want, like, you know, the Dragon Ball Super film that came out last year, that was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, the Seven Deadly Sins that came on Netflix is actually decent, that film. But like some of these other CGI, you know, cel shaded and whatever, like, no. Just no. This one, I can't really, like, from the trailer, it looks good, but I haven't seen it in action, like, you know, because we haven't seen the first episode yet. So I'm still kind of, like, hesitant about it. But it's definitely something that I'm going to be checking out and, you know, hopefully be able to talk about it on the podcast coming up pretty soon. I also been streaming I'm trying to catch up and binge Southside on HBO. I talked about this show before. It's an awesome show. It's funny. And they're on currently on season 3. And one of the things I liked about the show, beyond the fact that it's written very well, was the fact that the cast is made up of a lot of family and friends, which I thought was dope. Like the creators actually went to college together and they pulled in, you know, brothers and cousins and the wives and, you know, all over the place to be in the cast. And they're all talented. It's almost like a, you know, like the weigh-ins. Like they're all talented. And they do a pretty, you know, a really good job of you know, with the comedy and whatnot. And so that makes me want to support it more, kind of. You know, like you have majority black cast written by black people, you know, and is on a major platform like HBO. I'm like, this is freaking awesome. And it's inherently us, because a lot of the jokes, granted, I'm not from Chicago, but a lot of the jokes are uniform in a way that even if you're not from there, you know what the humor is. Like you get it. If you're, you know, black, minority, whatever the case may be, like you just get the humor. And that's really dope because you don't see that. I think you see that like in maybe sitcoms that are like The Martin Show back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like you would get a slice of people or a slice of us that was uniform enough that even if you aren't acting like Martin or Gina or whoever the case may be, you're like, oh, I know someone like that, or I know elements of that, you know, obviously you know, exaggerated or whatever. And so you get that a lot with Southside. So if you haven't watched that show, definitely go check it out. They're on their third, I think the final just aired not too long ago, so you can actually binge all the episodes right now.
Cool.
Solid television. At least I think so.
Word.
And then also I caught up on The Boys. And first of all, no one warned me. about that show. Like,
it's crazy.
I knew it was violent. At the very least, I knew that. But I didn't know the extent of what I was getting into. And I, mind you, I had never read The Boys comic. Yeah. I had heard about it here and there. And apparently it's, in certain aspects, is actually toned down. The show is toned down a little bit because the Boys was written years ago where certain things don't fly, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
And so the show is better for that. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's just, if you haven't seen The Boys at all, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a scene where a character like is moving so fast, they just run through someone's body and their body just explodes in front of everyone. And
that's nice.
I was like, what just happened? Like, what? Because I didn't understand it at first because it was such a nice, like, you know, comical scene or whatever the case may be. They went dark real fast. And I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Cool. And it's along the lines of like Watchmen and even was Invincible, where, you know, the idea of superheroes, what would superheroes be like in the real world? And they aren't all, you know, Captain America or Superman. Like, they're violent. They're basically like gods, if you think about it, like Greek gods, like trifling, powerful people.
That is a great explanation.
Right? It's basically that. But it is a good show. It's well written. The cast is great. And there's a character named Mother's Milk. So you have to watch it now. Just because you have to figure out why his name is that. You have to.
This is important.
My favorite character is Kimiko. And I'm not going to say why because I don't want to spoil it, but she's great. And if she dies in season 4, I will hate you. Everyone involved. I will hate
you. Just quit.
I'm just not doing it.
Well, maybe she'll have all the plot armor of Alice in Borderland and she'll never die.
You know what? I wouldn't be mad. I would not be mad if that was the case. I really wouldn't. You know what? I signed up for this, so I'm not upset. But yeah, so those are some things. We tend to like to give you some recommendations based on what we saw. And those are some solid ones. I also have my horror list of the year. And like I said, I watched a ton. And just to kind of, you know, give you a, you know, what I thought. So just a few. The Black Phone, obviously, we had talked to, and not because we talked to Scott, but I had already liked the film before he even agreed to come on the show. But then we also have Prey. If you're a fan of The Predator, at least the first one, Prey is really good. And I think it could be better than the first one. If you take nostalgia out, it might be better. It might be better. But Prey is on Hulu. That was really awesome. The new Hellraiser, solid. And I rewatched the old Hellraisers, and I don't know why they were popular. Hellraiser 2 was good, kinda. Uh-huh. But the first one, I was like, how did this? And I vaguely remember watching it when I was a kid. I was like, how did this become? Why? Why was this? There's like nine of those films. You know that, right? There's like, it's like freaking The Land Before Time, but for horror. Like, it just didn't stop.
We don't know why.
Yeah. But that's really good. The Innocents, even though that movie technically came out overseas in 2021, it actually made it over here in 2022. Very good horror movie. Smile is solid. If you haven't seen Smile, I believe it is. Did it come to HBO yet? I'm not sure. Whatever. It's somewhere. Go find it. Very good film. What else did I watch? Nope. Now, I know Jordan Peele's films are, since Get Out at the very least, have been divisive in the sense that what he's bringing to the table, I don't want to say a pattern, or if you're expecting a certain type of horror with Jordan Peele at this point, you're going to be disappointed. It's very much a, what is the word? I don't want to use like elevated because I feel like that's been used as like a pompous type of thing when it comes to horror, but it's more of a, he has a lot he wants to say about whatever the topic is. And I think the things that we might look for in a horror film, like being like super scary or bloody or whatever the case may be, isn't exactly what he's necessarily going for. If you even look at a lot of the violence that happens. A lot of it happens off screen. And it's purposeful, especially when it comes to black people. The way he treats the black character, which is great, actually, mind you. The way he treats black characters in his films, even when there is violence, it's handled very tastefully and whatnot, in a way that it kind of avoids trauma. And that's a whole nother topic, but I wish he would lean into certain things a little bit more. There's a scene in Nope where it's dealing with a monkey, and it's a really good like tension building scene, and I really wish he would lean into that a little bit more, because it's extremely effective in being like scary. And I think that I think that he needs to, well, he doesn't need to, obviously, because it's everyone loves it for the most part, but he leaning into that, I think, would make him, it would kind of put him over the top in terms of being, because that's what a lot of people, outside of not understanding or feeling like there's like plot holes or whatever, because he's dealing with a certain topic, and that topic might not, for instance, like Get Out, the way they would take over people's bodies just doesn't make scientific, doesn't make any sense. But the more you go down that rabbit hole, the worse it kind of gets. You kind of have to stay at a surface level, like, okay, this is, in this world, this is what happens. And so I think with us,
still believable.
Right. In us, there was a little bit too much explanation. And I think that that you start to pull at the threads and it kind of unravels at a certain point, where I think Nope is like right in the middle of that. And people didn't like that too much. And so I think like if you would lean more into that type of tension that he builds in certain scenes, I think that the people who enjoy his type of work will be fine. And then the people who are looking for something that's like, you know, really, really scary, whatever the case may be, they will overlook certain things because there's more fear there. Because he has an eye for it. He has a really good eye for certain things. I'm going to get off my nerd, you know, stand in a minute. I'm just saying, like, this is some cool stuff that he does in that film. So if you haven't seen Nope, go check that out as well. What else did I see? I saw so much. Crap. I had my list, and then my phone. You know how you get
technology against us.
You know how you get an update and then like whatever you were looking at is just gone? It's like, or like on Twitter where you're like scrolling and then like, oh, I want to read this, and then it update, it like refreshes and it like pulls it.
Why?
Yeah, it did that to me, and like my list was gone. So
that's so unfair. I hate it when it does it. I was really, really trying to look at something interesting. Like, I just saw the funniest tweet this morning and it tried to take it away from me, but I found it back. And then you want to know what that tweet said?
I do.
I'm going to tell y'all this tweet because, just for example's sake, and I'm not saying that it is important to repeat this tweet. What I am trying to say is that this tweet had me screaming. Nicola Thorpe. She says, the people who clutched their pearls at the Will Smith slap had better be giving the same energy to the Fresh Prince of Wales. And I screamed, and I saw the Fresh Prince of Wales. I am screaming. I said, what did Willie do now?
Bam. That's a whole episode. That's a whole episode. Like, the stuff that they're sharing. Oh my gosh. Like, fam.
What did Willie do now?
That's hilarious. I saw that there was a lot of things that I played. I'm not going to go through my games list because we're getting low on time. But Elden Ring, obviously, one of the top of last year. I got to finish just recently Marvel's Midnight Suns, and that was really good. It's a cool turn-based RPG that I didn't expect to be as engrossing as it was. There were some things that I didn't like in terms of the gameplay, where you have to do this. It's just like this day cycle thing where you can only do certain things during the day. You can only do other things during the night. And so if you want to do like a side mission or whatever, you have to wait till the morning time. And then after you do that, it's immediately night. So you can't do another mission. And that made it a little, it made the game longer. There would be times where I'm like, I just want to do side missions real quick, but I have to do a whole cycle, and it's a lot. Beyond that, though, I think it was written pretty decently, and it was cool. It was cool. It's definitely on my list. Marvel Snap for my phone, for the phones or whatever is really good. That was on my list. And I my list, all my lists fell away, so I can't tell you the other things. But Elden Ring was definitely my top. That I had the most fun with. I played the longest. I think I put, I think 90 hours in. I didn't feel it. I honestly didn't feel it for a long time. I was just exploring, and it was really fun. And it was like the gaming event of the year. Like, people were talking about it because of how open-ended it was. You could be in, like, we could literally be someplace, and you're playing and I'm playing, and I'm like, oh, there's a thing over here. And you're like, what thing? I didn't see that. I'm over here. And, like, you'll be kind of in the same spot, not knowing that, you know, if you take a turn left or right or whatever the case may be, you'll go to a whole nother, almost feels like a whole nother world. And so people were sharing things that they were finding, and that led to, like, this, you know, kind of like this community of people talking, similar to, like, when a show, like a big show, is happening. You're like, something, there was a big twist, and like people are talking about it on Twitter, but kind of like in code. It was kind of like that, where we're talking about, oh, this particular boss, he does this, stay away from that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so it was really fun just playing communally with people, but then also playing just by myself. It's a really, really good game. And I didn't think I was going to like it, because I typically, there's very few games I like from Software, their games. Sekiro is one. I like their Armor Core series, and I like Elden Ring. I didn't like Bloodborne, and not because I'm like adverse to challenge. There's certain things about it that just drives my anxiety up the wall, and I won't get into that here. But whereas I think Elden Ring, the fact that it's so open ended, and I could, if I met with a challenge that I couldn't overcome, I could just go over here. And my time didn't feel like it was wasted, because I would find something amazing. You know, like, check out the waterfall. There might be something behind it. Oh, there is something behind it. Like, you don't really get that with a lot of games. It's more open world games. It's more directed, like Assassin's Creed. If you go over there with the shiny icon, you will definitely get the thing that's shiny, versus, you know, the world is just open and there's nothing on the map and you just kind of go.
Right.
So yeah, Elden Ring was definitely my top. Did you have any like favorites game of last year? Or just of anything.
If any fellow favorites of anything, let's see. Okay, well, you know, I played a lot of Puzzles and Survival, but it's not my favorite game. It's just kind of something to spend time on.
Right.
But I actually, so for real, I really did love Wordle. And
oh, yes. That was big.
I loved Wordle, and I wish that Wordle was not just daily. Like, I wish you could just keep playing, but because I can't remember stuff, it's out of sight, out of mind. So I literally don't remember to play Wordle. And I'm like, oh, I forgot to play. And then I'm not cool anymore, because, you know, you're supposed to have a streak. And I've never lost a Wordle. I literally never lost one Wordle. Now, I have not lost one, but I just can't remember to play every day. So I have no streaks. Like, I think my longest streak was like 4 days, and then I'm like, oh, this game exists. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm ADHD, and I cannot remember stuff. It's out of sight. It's out of mind. Except for the things that actually stay in my mind, and that's what I have anxiety over.
Gotcha.
So I play like Wordscapes on my phone, and again, all of this stuff kind of stems from brain injury. Like, I played Wordscapes years ago, but it was just, you know, whatever. I didn't touch it for years. But post brain injury, like, things that actually really did help my whatever neuroplasticity are things like that. Like, actually really forcing my brain to mix up letters. And it helped with my language. It really did. It helped me recognize stuff, because with the brain injury, I didn't just have, like, you know, word loss. But I have processing slowness. Like, I can look at something and not recognize it. And so playing these games actually really helped. And so I did actually start spending a lot of time doing that again, because it just worked. It helped. It really helped. And it made me remember words that I don't use very often. It reminded me, like, I learned new words. I'm like, what the heck is this? What is even this? What is this word? Like, is this okay? Sure, whatever. And, you know, forcing you to mix up letters, and they're like, I didn't know that was a word, but apparently it's a word now.
Right.
So, and also getting mad when you know something is a word, but the game just doesn't want it to be, because it doesn't want to give you points. So wishy-washy.
Sounds like a night of Scrabble right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you can have Scrabble arguments forever. It'd be like, but I have a dictionary.
Right?
It says it's a word. It's like the dictionary says a lot of things are words, and not all dictionaries are equal, apparently.
Nope.
But yeah, so I definitely enjoyed playing some word games. I think it helped me get to, I think, where I am right now versus like where I was a year ago at this time, which was not in a great place.
Right.
You know, I couldn't even do phone conversations longer than 15 minutes and stuff. So, but those are some favorites of mine. And I will say, when it comes to, did I love what I watch on television that I absolutely loved this year? What came out that streamed that I loved? I don't remember.
Well, I don't know if you liked it, but you were you did talk a lot about the foolishness with the people on the Love Islands and the, you know,
oh my God. Okay. Yes. Okay. So yeah, since we are doing our 2022 rundown, I have to say this. So I did not watch Love Island 2022, and okay. I watch Love Island all the time, but I just, for some reason, could not, well, I shouldn't say some reason, I know the reason. I could not put myself through Love Island this year because it's just too much racism. Like, I like the British version of the show more than, I don't really care for the American. I've only seen one of the American seasons. I watched the British version of the show, and there really is a lot of racism. You know, a lot of British people will be like, oh, you know, there's no racism. We loved that black girl. And it's like, just shut up. Like,
yes.
Yeah. And then a whole bunch of British people called her a monkey. And then you guys, as soon as she did something that you guys didn't like, you dogged the crap out of her and were like, it's like black women are held at different standards.
Right.
So, because I'm like, because a white girl did the exact same thing and she wasn't dogged out, but when the black girl did it, you guys were like, oh no, yeah, no, we don't like you anymore. You should have gone with the other one. Like, come on, it's just not cool. So I didn't do Love Island this year, but I did do Love is Blind. And oh my God, the drama. And at this point, I'm no longer watching the show because I care about these people. I'm no longer investing my personal feelings into these people's lives and wishing them well and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm literally just watching it for the trash and excuse to eat popcorn because the mess is so amazing. Like, you can't pay better money. And it's free for me. So like, this all it costs is my time. The reason why I have to say it like this is because no one goes on this show anymore to be like the season one people where it's like, okay, I'm actually going on this show to fall in love or whatever. No, the only reason to go on these shows is to get famous. That you get to push your own brand. People are not going on this show just because they want to fall in love. They are going so they don't have to work 9 to 5s anymore.
Yeah.
They're going because they become Instagram famous and they get all these promotions and they make lots of money on TikTok off of just doing something very, very small. And so I don't have any, I'm not going to say, I respect your hustle. Okay, totes. I totally respect your hustle because if you become a millionaire doing this stuff, then you clearly did the right thing.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that I have to respect you as like a person, like your personality and stuff. That is literally all fair game now for trash talk. And I completely am here for the mess because these people are out here literally doing the absolute dirtiest of the dirties and then getting caught for it because they're not professional scammers. Sorry, the professional scammers, leave it to the Tinder swindler and Anna Delvey. Okay, leave it to them. They're the good ones. But yeah, so I did Love is Blind this year, American version Love is Blind. Brazil is out, so I need to watch that. I'm waiting for Love is Blind Japan to come back because that one was the bomb. The Japanese people on Love is Blind took it seriously. They really, really took the show seriously, and I really appreciated that. And the two couples that got married are pregnant. They're having babies, and I'm so happy for them.
Oh, nice.
Yes, like, that's how you do it, because the American couples, like, Only two of them stayed together from the first season. No one else is together from any of these other seasons. It's just trash. So there's that. So that's what I will say. I typically was not like a reality TV lover. I actually used to hate it for a really long time because I didn't like the fact that I could actually run into these people, which I have run into some of these reality stars.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, and this is why I can't watch these shows, because if I ever were to run into two people, Brandi Glanville or Kenya Moore, I would have problems because I didn't like either of them. And I don't want to pull somebody's hair and I don't even know them, but on those shows, I literally hate both of those people. And I'm like, I can't. If I see you in public, I might punch you because you're bad, because you're just not a good person. You're a horrible individual, and I don't want to go to jail off some person I don't actually know. So that's why I didn't like reality TV. But now I don't know if my life has changed to the point where I'm just like, I'm so glad that I can just watch other people be messy.
Right.
And it's, I mean, shoot, you don't even have to watch reality TV to be messy. You can just watch Good Morning America. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Are you really doing this on television? It's so messy.
Yeah.
So there's that. So yeah, you're right. Yeah, I did have some favorites on those, on the dating shows, just because they are hilariously, just full of content. They're just full of stuff to talk about. Look how much I used Twitter. You know I don't post.
Right.
And I used Twitter so much just because Love is Blind was that messy. Look at that. Look at that. TV shows bringing me out of my comfort zone in posting.
Facts. I saw that a lot and I was like, oh, this show must be something else. The way you were the way you were tweeting about it.
You got to get, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it takes me a lot of effort, but also if something is popular, you know, I'm going to make a comment, but seriously, even, I'm not even going to joke, even Alice in Borderland, I ended up getting into a little conversation with some people on Twitter because I'm like, literally, Queena, how come you haven't worn a shirt the whole season? She's literally, like, you're in a bikini top the whole season, and literally three other characters have changed outfits. And you're still in the same bikini top.
Hey, man, it's hard out here.
Are you cold? Do you get cold?
Shoot. She was like, man, it's the recession. I ain't got money. Look, this top will work for me. I'm just
trying to survive. None of the stores are open. So it's not like they can just go buy new clothes.
See, there you go. There you go. But that's what's up. I did, the one reason I didn't talk about anime too much is because I did my list of anime, and I actually spoke on it here, but I wrote my top list of 2002 anime at GameSpot. You can definitely check that out. I haven't changed anything for the most part, because I know, like, Chainsaw Man came out, and, you know, a couple others came out recently that were pretty cool. But based on the amount of content and what I've seen, Spy X Family is still, like, up there, number two. One Piece is still number one. And, like, I think, yeah, Ranking of Kings is still up there. Like, I haven't changed too much for the most part. So if you want to know my top 20, you know, lists for that, or whatever list, like, go over to GameSpot. It's the best anime of 2022 so far that you can stream right now. Check that out. Because I think I put a solid list together based on different criteria. Like, there are some shonen because duh, but there's also, like, some romantic comedy anime and you know, more life-based comedy, and or not life, but, like, well, actually, I don't know. Kataro Lives is kind of dark, but in an interesting way. Like, it's definitely a cool anime
it's
on
dark,
Netflix.
Though.
It is dark, sad. And it's subtle. It's very subtle. And because once you realize what's happening, you're like, oh, wow. Like, it just creeps up and knocks you over. And then Demon Slayer was up there as well. So, like, I got a bunch of those. But, yeah, my top is still One Piece. Because this last season or arc, Wano arc, especially what's happening right now, is freaking amazing. So I'm not upset about, you know, having, because I tried to pick also anime that wasn't long running. Like, anime that came out this particular year, especially. Mm-hmm. And One Piece was just good. Like, it's just really, really good this year. And then, like, there was a couple of anime that are a little bit lower on the list, and that's because they didn't have many episodes, but they also end, which is really great if you're strapped mm-hmm. for time and you don't want like seasons and seasons and seasons of this show. Vampire in the Garden on Netflix, I definitely recommend it. It's a vampire based anime, and where there's two factions, humans and vampires, and there's people in between, and they're basically fighting over the last resources on the planet. But it really deals with classism and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So definitely check it out. And it's only 5 or 6 episodes, I believe. And so you actually get a full story within that. And it's good. It's good. And there's also Spriggan, which I'm a huge fan of Spriggan.
Yeah, I love Spriggan.
If you read the manga or you saw the awesome film that they released.
Yeah, the movie
was
great.
You should like this. This one adheres more to the manga. And it is only 6 episodes as well. Obviously, it's going to be... The way they're setting it up is the beginning of the manga. So they're introducing everybody. It's a little... If you're not... How do I say this? One thing that might pull people out of it is that they jump to different places with the story. And because they're trying to introduce all the characters before they get into the long, overarching whatever's happening. And so a lot of it is like, you know, the day in the life of this particular Spriggan. And some people might not like that considering it's only a few episodes. That being said, I think what they have there is good, especially if they do come up with the next season. Because there's a lot of really, really freaking cool things that happen in the Spriggan world. In terms of like, you know, basically what they're looking for are these things called out-of-place artifacts. And they have like a story. So all the stuff from like mythology and whatnot, they actually have a technological means of being. So like Noah's Ark is actually a time manipulating weather machine, which is is wild. And so, but there's also like lichens, like people who can turn into werewolves, and there's cyborgs everywhere. So like, it's really cool. There's a lot of nerd stuff jammed into one show, right? So definitely check that out. That's also on Netflix. But other than that, I think we're good. We didn't want to do a big end of the year blast because we're coming back and, you know, we're already in 2023. So, did want to share a little bit and just to kind of let people know that we're back and yeah, having a good time.
Yeah.
Definitely having a good time. If you're listening on, right? Yay. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell. If you're listening on other platforms like iTunes or, you know, Google Podcasts or Spotify, definitely add us to your RSS feed, subscribe, do all the good stuff so you can be up on all the new content when we release them. Like I said, we have some cool interviews coming up, some cool people coming over. I'm trying to get some actors this time as opposed to just directors, but directors have been calling, so I'm not going to say no, but in terms of like getting some really cool guests on, I definitely want to talk to certain actors specifically, but you know, actors and actresses and whatnot, we want to get them on the show, and also voice actors. I'm looking into getting some voice actors on the show as well, because we talk about anime. It just makes sense. Speaking of which, real quick before we go, you heard about Ash from Pokemon, like is retiring, right? Like he's
apparently.
Yeah, the voice of Ash, or the voices, because you know there's Japanese and America. They didn't really know. They didn't know this was going to be the last season until they read the script or whatever. And it was like, oh, this is it. Which is wild in and of itself. I'm not going to hang on it too long, but the fact that he's going to be like moving out and there's going to be a whole new character and, you know, Pokemon duo is wild because I didn't think he would ever grow up, you know?
But Ash is literally 10 still.
Forever. And he finally won the championship. He's finally the you know, on the top. You know, he's always been chasing the badges and whatnot. He wanted to be the best. And every time he would get to the end of the season, he would lose. And this time he actually won.
Seriously.
And then on top of that, he won the Champions of Champions, you know, where like all the people, the people who won before, he actually beat that. And so he is like on top of the world right now. So it kind of makes sense, I guess, for him to be done. But I didn't think that, the Pokemon company and you know all the people that are involved would actually do that. I didn't think they would get rid of Ash, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, they pulled a Tara Lipinski.
Right? That's another conversation. I just wanted to throw that out there since we're, you know, I was talking about voice actors and whatnot. That would be dope to get someone on there, especially someone who's, you know, been involved with Pokemon and whatnot. So you never know. basically, subscribe, share, tell your friends, tell your enemies.
Do it. Tell your enemies.
Yes.
Well, I guess that's it. I mean, I don't really have anything else. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back. Happy 2023, everybody. Really, 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 though. I hope everybody has a wonderful new year. Keep listening, and we'll be here telling you all the hot goss. That's not what we really do, but we try to sneak it in there.
Right.
Anyway, that's it. Wash your hands, wash your faces, and your butts. And don't cough on people. Wear your masks. Stay 6 feet apart. COVID's still a thing.
Facts.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.